The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, 3130 Media Luminary Griffin McElroy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am so pleased to be the ones to reveal to everyone who didn't watch the Super Bowl last night that Spuds McKenzie is back.
He's back!
Yeah,
Spuds is back.
Big dog.
The big dog is back, and he's starring in, like, the only commercial that, like, did something. It was like the only commercial that I remember because it had a dog that drank beer, which is very, very good.
Very good.
It's very, very good stuff. And every other commercial was like, oh no, my dumb, ugly brother turned into a babe because of this product. Tight. My brother's so smoking hot now. So congratulations, Spuds McKenzie, and whatever beer product I don't quite remember you represent, because you've won it. You won the big game.
But it's easy to remember because the name's right in there, sort of.
No, that's not it.
I'm pretty sure it's Yingling.
Spuds McKenzie.
I think it's Big Dog Beer.
I think it's called Big Dog Beer. That's right, Travis, because it tastes so bad, and dogs will drink it, too. That's the flavor profile.
Made for dogs. That's what most people don't know.
But humans can drink it too. That's Spud's tagline.
So Spud's McKenzie was created in 1987. Everybody got very upset.
Hey, so was I.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody got very upset about Spud's McKenzie because they thought that it was marketing beer to kids because it was a chill, fun dog, right? Mm. And that they retired Spud's in 1989. Because there was a lot of controversy that he was like that this was targeted at kids, so that seems silly. But then Spuds McKenzie shows back up in 2017, and yeah. I was 9 when he went off the air, and I was pretty fucking stoked to see Spuds McKenzie.
But
there is a chance that maybe he did in fact have a large market impact on America's youth.
To be fair, credit where credit is due, though I did appreciate how this time they made sure that this Spuds McKenzie commercial was not for kids, that this was for adults only. And it was just a lot of dog boners.
A lot of dog hogs. That is a good point, Travis. And I was made uncomfortable by the mini dog penises, and I looked away and I made my family look away.
Tone Loc's song, Funky Cole Medina, lists Spuds McKenzie as one of the dogs trying to get into his house. Now that's another one for Tone.
I don't remember Funky Cole Medina having that much plot in it.
There's a long plot of Funky
Is
Cole
there a
Medina.
Verse that's just like, and then I shut the door, and then there's not a problem anymore, because dogs can't get through doors unless they have a special door installed in the door, and I don't have
My
one,
God,
so I don't
the
have
window. I forgot to close it.
It's actually kind of an epic poem, really. It's
the Gilgamesh of our time.
The harpies crashed my boat. Oh, what? Why are you on a boat now?
The fleece was mine. Wild thing. We weren't fooled, Tone. We weren't fooled.
We weren't fooled by your theft, by your theft. How about that football game, too? Because a lot of people were confused during the point where they lost the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't play for a little bit because the ball was gone. You remember? Like I guess one of the boys threw the football super hard, and then like I was watching on the camera. They had all those wonderful cameras filming it, and I swear to God, I just couldn't see where the ball went. And then they couldn't play for a while until somebody ran to the Toys R Us and bought a new football.
You know, Griffin, the craziest part of the game to me,
yes,
what I thought was the craziest part, where the game ended in a tie. And the Birdmen and the like American soldier men, they were like, we did great. That was everybody played good in it, and they shook hands and they were back in their locker rooms getting changed. Some of them were already in their khakis. And then like somebody ran in, they're like, Wait, we just checked the rule book.
We have to keep going.
It can't end in a tie. And they were like, what?
What?
Yeah, you have to keep playing. And so half of them were still out in their khakis and polos.
Yeah.
Exchanging Christmas gifts.
Yeah. And then they were like, okay, let's play some more.
Makes a good point that the season goes through Christmas, so they don't get to celebrate Christmas until after the Super Bowl. And it's where's that movie? A Super Bowl Christmas. Where's that film? That's what I want to see. So I remember now Travis hearing about it in the news. They ran the locker room. They're like, it can't end in a tie. And they're like, well, this is unprecedented. What should we do? And they're like, I don't know. We could flip a coin to decide the fate of the final football game. Are you sure that's a good idea? Yeah, let's just flip a coin. It's like the last football game and the whole planet is watching and other planets are also tuned in. And, we got a tie in our hands. So let's just flip an old coin.
We're going to let one of you boys try to do a touchdown. And the other guys are like,
they guessed which side the coin would be on because it's football. It's football. You know?
I did like how they did it. It was just a one-on-one touchdown. So one guy with the ball, one guy trying to stop him. It was like some like NFL, you know, like 2K sports kind of stuff where just one guy running and the other guy chasing him. And he did get in the touchdown zone.
He did get in there, yeah.
Spuds McKenzie's real name was Honey Tree Evil Eye. And she
Holy
was from Pennsylvania.
Fucking
That's
shit.
Pretty good. It was a lady. Did you know that? A lady dog? Spuds McKenzie was a lady dog named Honey Tree Evil Eye.
Do you think that they cast a lady dog so that they wouldn't have to deal with dog boners?
With the dicks.
That seems like a 100% probability, Scraps. I would put that on 100. Yes.
I love he's the original party animal, and I loved it. He just loved the party, and he was out there having good times, and he cared about friends. It was weird to me, the overtly sexual attention that Spuds McKenzie received from ladies in print ads.
She loved him. They loved him.
Yeah, but it's still a dog. It's not like Joe Camel, where it's an anthropomorphized camel.
Oh, yeah, I'll fuck Joe Camel for sure.
Right.
I thought that Lady Gaga's performance in the middle of the game was a big surprise. Very few people saw that coming, that she was going to show up and put on a little concert for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I love the duet between her and Spuds McKenzie.
Yes. which it was scary at first, because at first they thought it was just a wild dog storming the field, so they tried to shoot the dog. Mm-hmm. But he would. This is no dog's purpose. He avoided all of the shots, and he got up on stage, and Lady Gaga was like, "Please stop shooting at me and this dog." And then they sang all their songs. I wasn't expecting Lady Gaga's performance, which was fucking phenomenal, to be quite such a stunt spectacular. She just kept jumping off of things.
Do you think that there was someone when she jumped off the top of the arena who went, well that's the end of the show, I guess.
Is this art? Is this part of the performance art? Jeezers.
She also had a flotilla of robots at her command. And if I had given you an infinite amount of time, if you put a bunch of monkeys in a room with typewriters, and given them an infinite amount of time to guess what Lady Gaga would do with a flotilla of robots at her command, I bet pretty low on the list would be form an American flag and then later the Pepsi logo.
Yeah.
It seems like that would not be how Gaga would use her flotilla of robots at her command.
No, I mean, she would basically be like a fucking Call of Duty villain. Mm-hmm. She would fucking use those drones to take over the Pentagon or something like that. This is Gaga's country. This is One Nation under Gaga now.
When she jumped, there was this moment where I was like, are they going to form a fucking glider underneath her? Like Green Goblin style?
Oh,
like
that, my.
That, I was so excited. Megamind shit.
Yeah, exactly. I was so excited. But no big realistic action.
Oh, man. Travis just made a dope Megamind pull.
I love Megamind. This is a good movie, man. Dude, didn't get the press it deserved.
You've got to Megamind, dude. That
Can
flick,
we do
though.
A retroactive Megamind watch?
Hell yeah. Anytime.
Go watch Megamind. It's great.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Megamind at one point puts on a hologram that for some reason, inexplicably, looks like Greg Kinnear. Like almost exactly like Greg Kinnear.
Sick.
Never addressed.
There's a Neil Young song. It's an anti-sellout anthem called This Note's For You, obviously parodying the Budweiser thing. And Neil Young says he ain't singing for Spuds in the title track of the album. Man, Neil Young, you really fucking stuck at the Spuds.
Damn,
McKinsey.
Neil, you really made me think about some stuff by slamming that beer dog. I really need to reevaluate some stuff because Neil put forward another thinker.
You really put that fucking dog on blast. You taught that dog.
Can we do the stuff that we do?
Griffin, Spuds McKenzie is back.
I know, and I'm fucking feeling it. I had a hard time sleeping last night.
You don't remember it.
Of course I remember it. It's a dog that likes to party on beer with friends.
There is a pretty good, though, like, in an alternate reality where Spuds McKenzie did not exist in 1987 to 1989, and he just appeared last night. That ad would have set the world on fire. Yep. Are you kidding me? Why is the dog a ghost? Why is he talking? Why does he drink beer? Why does he want you to party with your buds? I do not understand.
Hi, kids. This is three old man McRae talking to you now. There was a time in America where an animal was your go-to beer-selling device. For example, three frogs, each one saying Budweiser. Doesn't sound funny to you now, but back in our day, that was the shit. It was
that
on
was good,
t-shirts.
Yeah.
Everybody referenced it everywhere.
There was the Coors Light snake, and he would just show up, and you would reach into your fridge, and you'd be like, time for a nice, crisp, natural light. Ow, fuck! And then you pull back your hand, you've been bitten, and you die. And then it's a sort of a morality tale.
I believe Coors Light had a wolf.
Yeah, a sweet pretty wolf. Sure. It's just this. I'm looking at Wikipedia now. It's just the Coors snake.
You know, I'm just now realizing that the Budweiser frogs were referenced in our television program, and Spuds McKenzie wasn't. So there goes another shot of relevance that we could have.
Damn it!
Oh, well,
let's please God.
Okay, we're not going to have another one of those shows.
He was just called Beer Wolf.
Sorry, what?
The Coors Light wolf was just called Beer Wolf.
Beerwolf?
I think it was supposed to be a play on werewolf.
He started up his own podcast network.
For somebody who's never heard it said out loud.
I think so.
Beerwolf? That's kind of like, oh, well. All right.
And Beerwolf came out before Spuds McKenzie. So Spuds McKenzie was the
fucking
Hydrox or the Oreo or whatever.
Hey, guys, I'm a huge Space Jam fan.
Fuck yeah.
And for Christmas, my friend ordered me a Michael Jordan Space Jam jersey. However, he lives across our big-ass state, and while the jersey was supposed to arrive while I was visiting, it didn't. He said he will mail it to me when it arrives, but now it's February and still no Space Jam jersey. I really want this jersey. So how do I ask him the status of my Christmas gift without sounding like a greedy asshole? That's Hannah from Texas.
You gotta get this jersey.
You gotta get the jersey.
You gotta get the jersey.
You gotta get it.
There's no social faux pas too great if it ends with you wearing the Space Jam Toon Squad Jordan jersey. Holy shit, that's a good look, though.
That's a good look.
Can you imagine, like, rolling up to, like, your weekly just, like, pickup basketball game? Oh, but what's that? You have a sweet-ass new Space Jam jersey?
Yeah, I don't want to play with you. You have cartoon stretch powers, and that's absolutely cheating. I won't be party to that.
Could you tell your friend that you're trying to line up your Halloween costume a little early this year, and you just want to confirm thumbs up or thumbs down status of the jersey?
I mean, you could also just tell them that since you told me that this thing exists and it belongs to me, my life has been spent in anguish every moment that I know it's mine, but I do not have it. And the only way to bring peace to my troubled mind is for you to either come to me and give me the jersey personally or mail it right now, and I will Venmo you some cash.
That seems like a pretty good, actually. Like, I don't think it's rude to let your friend know that your frothing demand increases for this jersey. Like, this is all you can think about. Please, please release me from this prison. It's all I can think about.
Please, why have you done this to me?
What if you get the jersey and you had to work so hard, you did drive all the way from East Texas behind the Pine Curtain all the way over to Amarillo? And you're like, I've made my journey. I finished my quest. Let me get that jersey. And you open it up and you look at the back and it says Jorbin on it. And you're like, who would make this? Who would even make, who would print this jersey out and be like, yeah, well, thank you for calling Toon Squad Jersey Manufacturing. This is Greg. How can I help you? And like, let me get one that says Jorben on it. And you're like, are you sure? Because I've seen the movie many times and we kind of make like novelty. You sure? Jorben? Yeah, that was the man's name, Michael Jorben, number 26.
And you get so mad and you throw it in a fire and you scream at your friend only to then find out that that was a limited edition, like misprint, yeah, that's worth $1 million.
Or not. His name really is Michael Jorben. And we've all been saying it wrong this whole time, but he's a very polite man. Do you guys want to Yahoo?
Are you worried about Space Jam 2?
Guess not.
In that? No, just hold on a second. I'm
now,
a little
now,
worried
just
about
hold
Space
Jam. On one second.
Just one second. I'm
Justin's
a
about to
about...
say something super important, and we almost yeah, missed it.
No, I'm serious. This is very important. I'm a little worried that our social media just existences, once Space Jam 2 becomes closer to fruition,
yeah,
is just going to become untenable.
Oh, I've been thinking about leaving Twitter for quite some time, and I think that's going to be the old escape pod.
It's going to be the one, right? Because it's just going to be a lot of people tweeting Space Jam 2 information at us pretty much constantly.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just start like a separate account that's just for people to tweet Space Jam 2 information to.
Right. Yeah. And it insta deletes the tweets after they're sent. Okay, Griffin, I'm ready for that. Yahoo.
Here it comes, and it's from Rachel Rosen, Game Recognized Game. Thank you, Rachel. It's Yahoo Answers user. They are anonymous, but their name is Jorben. Asks, why do most butlers came from England? Why do most butlers came from England? No additional details provided or required. Hey, what's up? My name's Stevie, and I'm here to polish your china. So, what do you got? Some silverware? Let me see that. Rub, rub, rub. Got it. My name's Stevie, by the way. I am from Minneapolis.
Okay, straight talk. Real question here, brothers. Have you in your lives ever actually encountered a butler?
Oh, geez.
A personal, physical encounter with a butler,
like you've gone to someone's home.
We're not talking about. We're not talking about like
is opened by an Alfred Pennyworth looking dude.
We're not talking about like a person you hire to help clean or whatever. You're talking about an actual like besuited butler.
Yeah, this is a person who like lives in the home, who like answers the door and brings people to the parlor to meet the master of the house.
I guess not.
Pretty much no.
No, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that they exist.
I don't think I've been touched. No, they do exist. I watched this amazing show called You Can't Get the Help on it was from England. But it was a reality, exactly. There's a long tradition there of this sort of thing. I think culturally people understand it better there. I'm just going to say the butlers are better in Britain is what I'm going
to
say.
Wow, I happen to think American butlers are the best.
I mean, we don't know.
They don't exist.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
One of the episodes I watched, this old fella was trying to find someone to take care of his weapon collection who could like really do it upright, like all his ancient weapons. And it was pretty much, the episode was pretty much this stream of young men coming in wanting to check out old weapons and him like grilling them about how sweet they were and then echoing that like they are in fact sweet and here's some sweet and like how you would swing them and stuff like that.
Wow.
And him like quizzing them on their application of how sweet they were to swing to be able to use these ancient weapons.
That's a cool life.
It's a cool life.
That's a cool life you put together there for yourself. Congratulations to you. Can I become the world's first American butler? I think I'd be pretty good at it.
You've got so much to overcome.
I don't think so. I like nice things, and I like people who like nice things. And I think I can help their things seem nicer. That's what a butler does, right? They like, hello, I'm here to make their things seem nicer.
But say that in an American accent, Griffin.
Oh, hey, what's up? I'm Griffin. I'm here to make their things seem nicer.
No, you're not. You're here to rob me. Get out.
No, I'm not. Look at my suit. Look at my cool suit. Look at my little mustache. It's fun and flirty. Let me inside, and I'll make your things seem nicer.
Mustache.
Yeah, come on into. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, you're having friends over for chili. Hi, welcome. I'm Griffin the butler. Please come in for chili. They have saltines. Let's get you out of those wet clothes.
Hold on.
So the reason that we don't, I think the reason that we have not encountered an American butler is in our day to day is like it would be, I would think, fairly expensive to keep a human on retainer, right? Like, mm-hmm. to keep a person who lives at your house and does shit for you would be expensive, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bob Uecker's character was a sports writer, and his wife went to law school. What in the living fuck are they doing with a butler? First off, any butler, but secondly, a butler of the butler. Fucking, like, class distinction, and also warm-hearted, if I may, of Mr. Belvedere. I do not understand how they are affording Mr. Belvedere-level talent on a sports writer salary. It does. I cannot.
It doesn't make
and
sense.
His wife is racking up law school bills, and she's like, yeah, I'd love one.
I'd
like,
love a butler.
I assume an inheritance.
Is that
Did
it?
They inherit Mr. Belvedere?
Okay. I thought the inheritance of money, but now that you mention it, maybe Mr. Butler served Uecker Sr., inventor of the card game where all of his money came from, and then he was just passed Mr. Belvedere down to his son, Bob.
I'd rather not. No, come on.
Well, there's streaks on all the china.
I you know, I was not crazy about this, but when I saw the fucking streaks on the china, I was like, I gotta get in there and do my shit. Gonna get nasty on them.
I just don't get it. Like, they just put that up there and expected us to all sort of swallow it, and I don't understand. It doesn't make sense how they could afford Mr. Belvedere. I don't get it.
I might get on some Love Actually shit here for a second, but you know how when British people are in America and they talk, people are like, that's fancy. And so that I think that's why we make that association. I think the reverse would be true, where if I went to London and I was like, hey, what's up? I'm a butler. They would hear my particular manner of speech and they would be like, that's a fancy boy. Gotta have him in my house. Gotta have him, you know, waxing my cars and teaching my kids some valuable lessons. That's what was meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. Is I would show up and I would invite people into the parlor and I would like help them throw great parties. But then the kids would come to me and they'd be like, I don't know about school. And I'd be like, fucking tell me about it, dude. And then they would be enriched.
And you teach them to like skateboard and
I teach them how to fucking skateboard and be cool and how to like smoke.
Yeah.
I just want to know where to find an American butler. I just want to know about one American butler, or maybe one of us could become the first.
I would hire Griffin as my butler.
Yeah. Thanks,
Griffin.
Trav
would be a pretty good butler.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Because I'll do whatever the fuck. Yeah. I won't complain. You know, whatever the fuck.
How is a butler different from a valet?
They're not. I'm not. I'm both. You can fire me whenever you want to, and I will not make a big deal out of it. That's like my number one thing. Like, I'm at your leisure, and then I'm gone. Bye.
And you guys,
Richie Rich had a butler. He's American, isn't he?
I want to put you guys in the headspace for a second there. Imagine for Christmas that I said, I am buying you 1 year of butler. Uh-huh. You each open the envelope, and it's just a name. It's like Figginsworth. Mr. Uh-huh. Figginsworth is coming to your house, okay?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, just from like a social anxiety, can you imagine the mental math, knowing as what you do today, Mr. Figginsworth shows up today, can you imagine the mental math you would have to run every time? I would never ask him to do anything.
No,
another plate of pizza rolls, sir? Yes, thank you, Figginsworth.
I wouldn't know. Can I ask him to clean the windows? I have no fucking clue. Can I ask him to go get my coat? It's right upstairs. I just gotta get it myself. I don't.
It would just be somebody else. The rechargeable batteries in your Xbox controller, sir? Yes, thank you.
The only impact he would have on my house is like I would have to open up another account on Netflix so he could have like his own shit. Because like other than that, I cannot fathom a world where I'd ask him to do anything. Like I would have the confidence to ask him to do anything.
No, I'll get that, Figginsworth. Can I do
no,
your
I'll get it. No, please.
It's fine. You always do it. Well, sir, you always do it, Figginsworth.
Take a break. It's your day, Figginsworth.
Today's
your day.
Look at the chore wheel, Figginsworth. It's your day off. Go fly a kite. Go buy and fly a kite, Figginsworth. Here's some money. I love you, Figginsworth. Hey. I love you, Figginsworth.
Love you. Sorry I didn't ask you to do anything this month. Maybe next month.
Maybe next month.
You'll get there, sir. Thank you, Pickens. Would you like me to ask me to do stuff for you, sir? Yes, please. That would
be great. Yeah,
that'd be great. The thing about butlers they don't tell you is that they have to take their time off while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So if you go to sleep, that's when the butler really can play. And if you hear him roaming around your house sometimes, that's just because that's the only free time he gets. So he's got to make the most of it.
Yeah. Hey, what does he do? What does he even?
Did you beat Dishonored 2 while I was asleep? Yes, sir. I was playing that.
I was playing that. You jumped onto my save.
I took care of it for you, sir. Well, it's like I didn't need you to. I mean, I was struggling in that segment.
Oh, you brought it down to low chaos? Nice.
Nice. Yes, Lord Gregory dies at the end. No, go, Dick.
Figginsworth.
You're fired. No, sir.
No, please.
Okay, not like right. this.
Here's another question. I was just informed a woman I know is throwing a, quote, play party, a.k.a. a swinger sex party, and I wasn't invited. There does not exist a reality in which I'd actually want to go to this party. However, she invited several of my friends, and I didn't make the cut, and I'm left wondering if this is because she views me as an introverted, awkward prude and not the potentially sexy, fun-loving lady that I am. How can I better exude a invite me to your orgy, I don't want to go vibe without being a creepy weirdo? And that's from Brooding on the Bacchanalia Blacklist.
I don't get this question even a little bit at all.
I love this question. Let me tell you why. This person is bummed that they did not get invited to a party they don't want to go to.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If you take all the sex out of it, that's what it boils down to.
If somebody invited me to go to a swinger sex party, I would say no. Thank you, and I would feel kind of uncomfortable having to turn down that invite for anything. It's not because of the subject matter of the party. It's just like when you have to turn down an invite to anything, it is a discomfort. When somebody scopes out my situation and says, I absolutely should not invite Griffin to this because he would have to say no to that, they have done me a wonderful service. And I can't imagine. This is such a high stakes invite. Are you fucking kidding me? To have to turn this down would be really rough stuff. This is such a great service this person has done for you.
Yeah,
you also, they've done you a kindness. You don't want to be the person at an orgy that's the pity invite. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a real bummer.
It's just I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to invite you to this very personal pan party, and it's very personal, and I'm going out on a limb. Do you want to come to the sex party? No. Ah, shit. I wish I hadn't invited you to the personal pants sex party.
Like, they do need a designated watcher at every one, though. Maybe that's something you could volunteer for, just the person who watches all the sex stuff happening.
Yeah, and puts, you know, number stickers on everybody to tell them how good they're doing.
Or you could just be, like, in the coat check.
Yeah, you could do coat check.
I don't understand.
Or maybe just send an edible arrangement. You know what I mean? I couldn't make it. Apologies.
You are the sort of person that wouldn't want to go to an orgy.
Mm-hmm.
This, you weren't invited to the orgy. It's a fucking, your friend nailed
slam dunk.
It.
Like, they crushed slam it. Dunk. We're gonna get an email from their friend that's just like, hey, I fucking crushed it. No advice needed. I fucking crushed it with the evites on this fucking. I sent out some fun jib jab evites to my orgy, and I fucking crushed it with who I invited. I got a 100% yes, 0% no rating. I thought about my friend Stacy, but then I was like, nah, she doesn't seem like she'd be down. And I saved us both a really uncomfortable no to that. So yeah, 100% evite. Just wanted to brag. Crushed it. Jibjab.com. Go. Great comedy source.
What we're dealing with here is like a Venn diagram with a very, 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 very small overlap, and one says people who don't want to go to orgies, and the other circle says people who want to be invited to orgies, and you are the one person in the overlap that exists.
I can't.
We should. I think there's a delineation between orgy and swinger sex party. I just want to make sure that we acknowledge that there is that.
We understand there's a difference. It's just like, we're trying to use efficiency of language here, okay?
Fine.
We get it.
I have a speech impediment. I'm not very good with my S's, so I like to stick with non-S words. Thank you very much.
There's no judgment here at all, 100%.
No.
This is fantastic. I'm so glad it's happening. Go America, or whatever country this is happening in. I do have an issue. Why do you know about this party? Someone at some point is doing this so fucking wrong. To me, it's just implied. Obviously, you don't tell people that you're going to a fun sex party with some people they know.
No. Damn, that's untenable. A good point, Justin.
And I don't think it's a judgment thing as much as like it's just more fun that way.
It's just not done.
It's unprecedented.
But any party, especially if you're, because this is how I imagine the invite goes. It's like a one-on-one. It's not like you stand up in the break room and go, "Hey, by the way, having a party later if anybody wants to come." So clearly in this one-on-one invite, you know that there's some exclusionary tactics happening here. So for you to then on any party go around being like, "Yeah, got invited to a party. Did you?" Like, no, that's not how you deal with that.
Check this shit out though. Sex parties off and popping, and it's going so good and lots of lovemaking going on. It's great. And then who walks in? It's fucking Anderson Cooper. And he's like, "There's a mole." And then all of a sudden, we get that fucking revival of the mole that we've all been waiting for. But it's like a very, very, very erotic mole.
That would be the best television show that has ever aired. Are you kidding me with this ratings bonanza?
I need you two to stop with this bonanza you're having and take this quiz on who the mole is. Can we wait? I'm almost finished with my bonanza. Yes. You can wait. Yes. It's fine. I'm the designated watcher for this one anyway, so continue the bonanza.
Please enjoy your bonanza.
Just know that the love you make may be with the mole. Well, you've ruined it.
I have no problem with that, Anderson. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't want to make love to the mole.
I might have underestimated how much people cared about not having sex with the mole.
I will say this, the mole is fucking smoking hot and really good at doing it, so.
So you got that going for you.
So you got that. Maybe you don't want to vote him off the island or however the mole works. It's been a long time.
I just can't see a world where Ahmad Rashad doesn't try to sneak in there, though. Yeah. Like, it seems like he would definitely want to be the guy. Like, I don't think Anderson can handle this one on his own. I do need to just go ahead and
help
him on this one, on this Mitch.
One of the two hosts is a mole, but we won't tell you which one. Man, I miss the mole. Fuck.
Yeah, mole was a good show.
It's a good television show.
All right, time to go to the money zone. Follow me. I'll show you the way.
Whee! Gotta tell you about a box I got yesterday. Not yesterday, it was a few days ago. I opened it, and my nose was full of the passionate smell of a bunch of beautiful blooms, because it's from Pro Flowers. Because it's that time of year where Pro Flowers sends us flowers, and all of a sudden I have flowers in my house, and at first I panic, because I'm like, I don't know what to do with these things. But then I remember you just sort of look at them and smell them, and they're great. Because what is it, Travis?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I can give you a 99% guarantee from my brother, and me to you that these flowers will not contain a listening device.
Oh, no, no listening devices here. That's not how Pro Flowers does it. If there's a listening device, it was planted there by, you know, I guess the whatever postal service delivered them. So these are great flowers, good prices. And right now you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase for $29.99 plus shipping and handling. That's what we've got. Beautiful vase with some beautiful roses. It really lightens up the kitchen.
And can I tell you a secret, Griffin?
Please.
You can reuse that vase.
Yeah, no, I realized we put it on the counter, and I placed it in between two identical vases that we have full of some lovely like gemstones. Don't break into my house, though. Please, they're not real gemstones. I don't just have a big urn full of rubies and emeralds. But right now, the only way to get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase starting at $29.99. I know I said 20 and then a bunch of nine sounds. It's $29.99. Just go to proflowers.com. Use the code MYBROTHER. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in the code MYBROTHER. Don't wait. This deal expires soon. No, Valentine's Day is coming up, and a lot of people are just looking for like a fun, special way to celebrate. Here it is. This is it.
You found it.
You found it.
I would like to tell you about Casper. Yeah. It's a mattress company that's done changed the mattress game. Yeah. I got two in my house, one that I sleep on in my bedroom, and one that I sleep on in the nursery when my baby's being real fussy and I don't want to bother my wife. I put my baby in her crib and I sleep on the Casper mattress in the nursery, and everybody sleeps okay, I'll say. Not great, but the quality of the sleep is good. It's the baby screaming that is the biggest effect of the sleep and not the mattress. That's a little insight onto the Travis McRoy sleepscape. But it has nothing to do with whether or not Casper is great, because it is.
Yeah, it's a fucking great. It's a great, great old mattress. We got one in the guest room, and every time we have guests over, they always talk about how sick it is. Have you talked about the free trial and return policy? You can sleep on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery to the U.S. and Canada. And if you don't like it, that's not possible, but you get painless returns. So no big deal.
$50 towards any mattress purchase can be yours by going to Casper.com/mybrother and using promo code mybrother, all one word, at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Justin, can you tell me about this next message?
Yes. This message is that the person who wrote the message also wrote a book. So they're kind of multifaceted.
Yeah, just writing a bunch of things, a bunch of different vehicles.
It's called Systematic: How Systems Biology is Transforming Modern Medicine, and it explains how simple biological pieces work together to do complicated things, how the neurons in your brain work together to allow you to think, how the microbes in your gut might influence your weight and mood, how bamboo flowering schedules create swarms of rats in India every 48 years, and how gerbils in Kazakhstan get bubonic plague.
Can you take another run at saying the name of that country?
Kazakhstan? Well, agree to disagree.
No, don't. There's no disagreement to be found here, sir.
Whichever one of you that is interrupting me so rudely, can I please just read the call to action?
I mean, I guess so, but just the country has a way of saying it. But go for it. Sorry.
I think this is like a Mexico-Mexico kind of thing.
Definitely not,
pick up
go
a
ahead.
Copy of Systematic at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore starting February 7th, 2017. Which is tomorrow. You can go get it.
You should say what they said in their message, though, because
they did throw a little shade. They said, which was definitely 11 months ago, but it wasn't. It's tomorrow. It's you tomorrow. Fucking asshole.
Nailed.
Thanks for the money.
But anyway, pick up Systematic.
Now you can write a third thing. It's an apology note. Looking forward to it.
I have a message here for Melanie. And it's from your little sister, who says, "Happy birthday, Melanie. I love you so much. And to express just how much you mean to me, I chose the sweetest baby brother in the whole world to tell you so on your favorite podcast. You're my best friend and amazing older sister, and I love you tremendously. Here's to you." This one is also...
I miss you tremendously.
Oh, what did I say?
Kazakhstan.
I miss you tremendously. Here's to you. And this was supposed to go up in February, so we're guys, I'm feeling good about how we're starting this year off with regards to Jumbotrons, and literally in no other regard, literally no other way am I cool with how we're doing so far, except for this one way we're doing it pretty good.
The first ever Very Very Fun Day is coming to Tally Hall in Chicago on February 11th with media sponsorship from WBEZ 91.5. Advanced tickets are sold out, but we will have a limited number of tickets for sale at the door. So come on out for a day jam-packed with 5 great Max Fun podcasts, 4 local shows, and a comic showcase. For more information, please visit MaximumFun.org/Very Very Fun Day.
Another question here from a listener, and it goes a little something.
Oh, no, we're going to do a Yahoo. Shush.
Okay. Wow. You're the boss.
Media luminary swinging his 30 under 30 around.
How about this one from Morgan Davey? Keep it wavy, Morgan Davey. It's from Yahoo Answers user Lisa R., who says, "What is a good argument to convince my parents to let me have a 2 horses?
Whoa.
Hello. Hi. I've been dreading the conversation, convincing my parents to allow me to get another horse. Right now, I have a horse that I was going to use for barrel racing, which I'll interject here, is when you stuff a horse into a barrel and then you stand on top of the barrel and you just kind of run with it all wacky. But turned out to be better at Western Pleasure, and that's where, I don't know, man. I'm going to need one of y'all to Google. I know that means you're not going to pay attention to the rest of the question, but I must know what Western Pleasure is. Travis, just one of you. I need one of you to listen to the rest of the question.
Uh-huh. It is a Western-style competition at horse shows that evaluates horses on manners and suitability of the horse.
Couldn't have found a better name.
Yeah, Western Pleasure.
Fucking sick.
We're going to get into horse manners here in a second.
Why couldn't we just fucking... I'm going to start a new podcast, and I have zero time for new projects right now. I swore to myself, no new projects. But now I must have a podcast called Western Pleasure. And it's a fan cast for Northern Exposure. Okay, right now I have a horse that I was going to use for barrel racing, but turned out to be better at Western Pleasure, and I have gotten very attached to this horse. Anyways, so now I'd like to add a new.
That's just a bad sentence construction. So it's good at Western Pleasure, I have grown very attached to this horse.
Anyway, so now I'd like to add a new speed horse, and do not know how to come about this conversation with my parents. I feel like their main argument point will be, why do you need two horses? Please help me. So we've done, gosh. How many questions about horses? All of them? Secretly, there's an undercurrent of horse in everything, and we've talked about convincing the parents to let me get a horse. This is a new and exciting avenue for us, which is, what if there's another one?
Just a super quick sidebar. I did search Western Pleasure in iTunes, and while it returned no podcast, it did return a book.
Oh, good.
Handsome Ty Steele, a professional horse trainer, is looking to add to his income by offering horseback riding lessons at his horse farm. Unfortunately, he accidentally places his ad in the personal section of the local newspaper. Gordon Burkhart, recently transferred from New York to the Midwest, comes across the ad. His overactive libido causes him to misinterpret the ad as offering something far different than what Ty intended.
What
happens when Gordon arrives at the farm for his lesson? And that is the book by Terry O'Reilly called Western Pleasure, and you can get it for $1.99.
Tear my fucking pants off, Western Pleasure. Hell yeah. What's Hell a good yeah, argument West. To convince my parents to let me have two horses, though? here's the thing. You said
came up with the best argument.
Okay. But did you just interrupt me, or is the fucking...
I just interrupted. No, I just interrupted you.
God.
But I came up with a really good joke, and I didn't want to wait.
Travis McElroy story. Holy shit.
Shit. You beat me to it.
Fucking go for it then.
Best argument for two horses. I have four legs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good joke. Damn it. You're right. All right. Worth it. But the legs would have to be. Sorry, Travis. The legs would have to be arranged.
I am a centaur.
No. See, dummy. It can't be like that. It has
you
to
broke
be.
Your joke.
It has to be four horizontally aligned. A perpendicular
I'm a
line
comb.
Of legs. You have to be a comb, right?
I'm a human centipede just getting started.
Okay. The best argument, and I'm being serious here because I want to seriously fucking help this person because that used to mean something around here, is you said parents, plural S, you got two parents, two horses, romantic rides, romantic horse dates for the folks. I'll use this motherfucker for Western Pleasure. I'll use this other motherfucker for speed racing. And then on the weekends, you take him out to the ranch. You're having a good time out there, romantic time. Maybe you start feeling things that you haven't felt. Things have gotten a little bit stale. Going out on horseback's going to change all that.
The problem is convincing your parents that two horses is not a case of diminishing returns. Because... You have to feed two separate horses now. You have to like stable two separate horses now, and you can't ride both of them. You singular cannot ride both of them at the same time. So, how do you convince your parents that it is an increase? It is a return on investment. And I think the answer is you have to convince them the horse is magical.
Okay.
You need another horse. You need this specific horse.
See, this horse is fire type. The one I got now, fire type. And so when a water type comes around, I'm fucked. So I need to get me a grass type horse. That can. Just kidding. All horses are grass type. It's all they eat. It's silly geese.
Here's what you got to do. I got a solution for you on this one. This one I got a solution for. What you're going to do is you're going to buy two horses before your parents find out.
Oh, I see.
Once they're once they are both there, you marry them. So you're there, and then your parents are like, you've got to sell one of these bad boys. And you say, well, mom, dad, they're married.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think that I'm going to sell one because they're a married pair.
They're
of
a married
horses.
Couple.
I do like, Justin, in the scenario that you have assumed that the person asking this question is someone who has the means to purchase two horses. They're just afraid of the condemnation from their parents.
I thought you were going to say the means to marry a horse, at which point I was going to just jump through the internet, Travis, and tell you everybody can marry a horse. It's all make-believe. And we're all just having make-believe fun when we talk about these things. I could go out and marry two horses right now. I could marry two dogs if I wanted to.
I guess that's true.
Technically speaking, he's
I couldn't
he's got
come
a point.
Up with any argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no argument against absolutely. So I think if you marry the horses, then legally your parents can't make you sell either one of them.
Yeah.
Marry them to each other or you marry them?
No, you marry them to each other, Travis.
Okay, Justin, wanted to make sure we all understood what page we were on.
You were on a bad page.
No. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew what page we all three were on.
You chose the wrong option in the fucking choose your own adventure novel, and you got ate by a Yeti, sir.
And then Justin, I married the Yeti.
You married the Yeti. You loved the Yeti very, very much.
I'm going to ask another question. The other day in my intro to criminal justice class, a student took out a whole lemon and started to peel it. And then he asked me for the time. So I told him, and he went, oh, okay, in a sad tone of voice, and put his partially peeled lemon back in. He put his partially peeled lemon back into his bag, almost ashamed of his actions. My question is this. What should I do if this situation comes up again? What is the code word that I can use so I can get this man to enjoy his lemon in class? I think he's some kind of citrus sleeper agent, and I need advice. And that's confused and citrus concord.
This is...
We have been getting... Listen, before we talk about this, I just want to say, we have been getting some fucking all-time questions
from
y'all.
Last, like,
the past few weeks have been all-time questions, and I can't thank you enough for making this show palatable.
There's so many. I love our listeners, and I believe you. If you come to us with a question, that is a sacred bond of trust you put forward. I believe you. Except I don't believe this person, because there's so many angles to this dangle that is just unimaginable. The fact that this person was apparently going to eat a lemon is like not even chief among them, but that they unspooled this lemon a little bit, found out that the time was bad or wrong, and then put the partially unpeeled just going to let some of the raw flesh of the fruit touch the inside of my JanSport. What?
This kind of thing always makes me feel, I'm an old man now, I'm 33, I'm not as hip as I used to be. This always makes me fear like that this is a reference or a meme or some kind of internet joke that was like a setup that like you were supposed to respond a certain way. And, like, what's the fox say? And you're like, this is math class. What are you talking about? Okay.
This was a gag from last night's American Dad. Well, he didn't fucking see that, of course.
Oh, I've got it.
Start. So you're saying that after they asked for what time, you should have looked them dead in the eyes and said, what's up?
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
exactly.
That's here's exactly what you do. It. Here's what I think the proper response is in this situation. They start peeling the lemon. They say, excuse me, do you have the time? You do a dramatic take, make eye contact with him, and whisper, it's the sour hour. And then just everything goes crazy.
I mean, I think you could even be more on the nose than that and just say, it's time for me to watch you apparently eat a lemon. like one might eat a delicious tangelo, and I'm very much looking forward to it. So please don't cock block me again. I gotta watch this pop off. Please. I've been thinking about it all week since you bailed on me last week. You left me devastated.
I do enjoy the image of a person who attends their class with a lemon and not a phone. So they have the one thing, they do have a lemon with them. They left the house today with a lemon and not a phone.
Yeah.
Doesn't this make, this reminds me of like those logic puzzles where it's like two men meet at a restaurant and order albatross and say for old time's sake, and when they take a bite, they fling themselves off a bridge. Like, this is like, there's some explanation here that I just don't understand. And it's like, well, you have to know that lemon is also another word for, and it's like, ah, it all makes sense now.
Is there possibly maybe like a university-wide protest? A very subtle protest. We're like,
all right, at noon, we're all going to eat our lemons.
Right. We'll all eat a lemon at the same time.
I mean, maybe you're onto it. Maybe it's just this person feels like being very disruptive today. So they take a big, juicy bite of their lemon while the professor's talking about criminal justice. And he's like, what's really important to understand about jurisprudence? And then this person's just like, chomp. Oh! Can you please, do you mind not doing that in the middle of my class? Hey, it's we're allowed to eat. I looked it up in the bylaws. Huh?
Canker sores.
The canker sores are barking.
Is it maybe a flash mob? Is there maybe a flash mob happening, and this person's one role in the flash mob is to eat a lemon at this exact moment? That's like some improv everywhere shit. I don't know exactly.
Oh, but they missed it.
That's it.
Yeah. That's what they, yeah. It's not that they're too early. It's that they're too late. And the whole fucking mousetrap style, like, what's the word for, like, the Rube Goldberg machine.
Oh, that they was were kicked off to start
the,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, them shit. Eating the lemon was just to start it.
So there's just a flash mob, like, waiting at 12:01, like, come on, Jerry. Come on. And then Jerry shows up to class at 1:01 because they forgot about daylight savings time. And it's like, what time is it? And you're like, it's 1:01. You're like, oh no. The mob's going to be so mad at me.
They plan on doing a flash mob to Led Zeppelin's The Lemon Song. And then they're like, ah, fuck. I even brought the prop. Guess I got to eat it now.
This is amazing. I can't imagine.
So good. Is there another good question that you want to do?
My office puts a 1,000-piece puzzle in the break room.
Oh, man.
For everyone to work on. When finished, a picture of the puzzle is taken, displayed, and a new puzzle is put out. Although people work on the puzzles, I'm always the one who completes them.
Nice.
Am I good? Or should I let someone else know the sweet satisfaction of putting in that final piece? And that's from Puzzle It in Cleveland, Ohio.
This is a good question, but also I want to address the fact that you work at an office. We're hanging on the walls. A guest might come into your office to do business and see a fucking framed picture of just like a bunch of balloons. So that's pretty cool. You guys are really into balloons and what is that? Ice cream? And that's the album cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Boy, you guys are into a lot of diverse topics, I see.
I love this super cool Pixar/Google workspace where the bosses are like, no, we don't care if you spend hours on end in the break room working on a puzzle. Whatever. We're cool here.
It's a puzzle QA facility. So it is part of their, here's what I would do. Fucking mix it up. Are you ready for this? When you're about to put in the final piece of the puzzle, put something underneath the puzzle, flip it over upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Wait for someone to enter the room. And then put the last piece in.
Oh, fucking
shit. And they'll look
shit.
At you, and you'll just be like, that's how I do it. Fucking Bobby Budnick from Salute Your Short
Style. Yeah.
I put the puzzle in. Like, I could put it together backwards. I feel like the picture is cheating.
That is so
and
sick.
And you become a fucking office legend.
I have another way of doing a good, and that is, just when you're about to crush it, you call everybody in. Guys, come in here. I'm about to crush this puzz. Folks, come in to watch you smush the puzz. And you get that last piece, and you're like, here it goes. And you, like, hold it way up in the air like you're going to slam dunk it. Like, oh, and you're bringing your arm down, and everybody's, like, cheering and clapping because they're about to be set free from the puzz. And then you bring your arm down, but then your arm hooks and crooks, and you put it in your mouth, and you eat it. And then everybody's like, whoa, yo, James, what the fuck? And then you say, the final piece of the puzzle is you.
Teamwork
and
is the final piece.
The final piece of the puzzle, and everybody claps. Now you're the boss. You've inspired everybody, and they take a picture of this puzzle without a piece, and all of a sudden it's like an Office episode because it didn't go right, but they learned something.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they just frame the puzzle? Why do they take a picture of the, is that for like so we could do it again later? Do they have that few puzzles?
Yeah, we got to keep this. This is a fucking Prima strategy guide on balloon puzzle. What if we get
a picture as a reference for the next time? Like, it looks like this when it's done.
That'd be sick. If I fucking worked at an office and they had me put together 1,000-piece balloon puzzles and it took me a month, and then all of a sudden they brought in and they're like, guess what? Same balloon puzzles. I'd be like, fuck yeah. All right, guys, let's get it together. We know the green one's there at the bottom left, and let's just work from there.
I can't imagine. I think being the person to finish the puzzle, I get it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the person to start the puzzle? What would be worse than that? Like, if I see a pile of puzzle pieces, I'm just going to keep on walking. There's no worse on heaven or earth that's going to make me start the sorting process.
Unless you find those tasty corners. You find those corners, and then all of a sudden you're like, my work here is done. Everything you do will be built on the back of my major accomplishment here. I am now I'm the puzzle master.
You know,
That's what you, when you get to that last piece, you take that last piece, you go out in the office and you find the person who's been having a rough time. Maybe like they just lost the big account, and you walk up to them and you like kind of flip it to them like you're flipping them a quarter, and you're like, you need this more than I do.
And like they get in their to coffee. Smush
the puzz.
They can smush the puzz.
Yeah.
One thing that you could do is take early on in the process, steal one piece of the puzz, and then put it in a giant sack of foam waffles and make them like slip around and look for it. That's how Mark Summers invented Double Dare at his office, and he got fired for that, but then he got a job at Double Dare, so it all worked out.
It all worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you could do is go to Spencer's Gifts and bring like $100, because you're going to want to purchase a lot of fun stuff in there. But you buy a sexy erotic puzz. Just like a good doing it puzz, and then everybody's putting together this balloon puzz at work, and then you go in to finish it, you shut and lock the doors, you throw that balloon puzz away, and you put down this finished sex puzz. And then when people come in, you'd be like, yeah, I guess we just couldn't see it until it was finished, but damn, Jerry, you picked up a pretty fucking erotic puzz, bud.
A lot of hunks in this puzz.
A hunky puzz. A lot of fucking trouser dogs in this one, huh, bud?
hey, Jerry, this puzz was called Western Pleasure.
That's how did you not fucking wild, man.
Figure that out?
I mean, it's fucking good. It's tasteful and like very like sexy, very tasteful. But like
I also thought it was going to be balloons. I'm as surprised as anyone.
Right?
Here.
Yeah. I thought balloons until the moment I put the dick one in,
and
this one piece did have the dick in it.
Then you fucking reach down, you pop a piece out, and you shift the rest of the puzzle a little bit. It's fucking one of those ventricular dealies, and all of a sudden it turns into balloons as soon as you pop that one piece out. What is this sorcery?
That's another thing you could also do. Folks, that's going to do it for us this week on My Brother and Me. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We last week put out the trailer for our TV show. If you want to watch that, you could check out CISO's Facebook page or CISO's YouTube channel, or just find, I mean, it's not hard to find media. It's 2017. Just like find it. Find it on YouTube and wherever. Go watch it. A lot of people liked it. That was very gratifying.
Yeah. I'm very excited for, we're going to like more and more stuff. So it's going to keep coming out until the show comes out on the 23rd. I am, holy shit, guys, that's very soon, huh?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Holy shit. All right. Well, I think everybody's going to dig it. So if you don't, please don't tell us, because the podcast can be bad. Like, we've made like 4,000 of these, whatever, but we only made 6 of the TV show. And so if you think it's bad, it would hurt my feelings very much.
Yeah, it would hurt. Feelings. We've heard from a lot of people. I just want to clarify this on the show. We've heard from a lot of people who do not live in America and as such have difficulty accessing CISO. I'm sorry for that. Very, very sorry for that. That situation exists. We also have there's no reality in which we have any control over that whatsoever. And the CISO people are smart people. I mean, if they could just flip a switch, I'm sure the switch.
It is not
be
because they hate Canada, and you know, like it's there's like bonkers licensing stuff involved. I mean, I'm
which we also have no, yeah, we're talking about us. We have no idea. But ask them. Like, that's the best thing you can do. Just tell them on Twitter, like, hey, I live in this area, and I'd really like to watch this show.
I understand people are frustrated. Please don't be like mean about it and be like, fuck you guys. That's
they were really nice, and they let us make a TV show with a lot of money.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know.
Be nice. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Can I do that? Can I do that?
Please do.
Hey, thanks. That was it.
Also, to the international thing, I did want to say, if history is any indication, there will be one episode of the show that is freely available on YouTube. So everybody will at least be able to watch one episode of it, I believe.
We're also working on an event on the 15th of this month that we're going to be streaming. And we are going to be doing, you know, kind of a press event showing an episode and doing a Q&A afterwards, which you should be able to watch. Watch our Twitter stream and our Facebook page for the details on that.
Yeah, but we should know more by next week's episode, so hopefully we'll have the details then.
But we want to make sure we get as many people included as possible.
Thanks to Max Fun for having us. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great podcasts there. Congrats to Jesse and Teresa having another baby. Very exciting.
The Portland show sold out very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
There's a thread started on the Facebook group for people who weren't able to get tickets and are looking for tickets, because there's always, like, you got tickets and then you found out you had to work that night or something and you're not able to go. If you do end up with tickets that you're unable to use, posting in the Facebook group is a super cool thing to do. And we know it sold out really quick. And we apologize that they went so fast, but hopefully there will be some ticket exchanges made and some people who weren't able to attend are able to go. If you're going to be at that show and you have questions, you can start sending them in now. Just put Portland Live Show in the subject line so we can start grouping those questions together. And we'll see you there.
Y'all want that final?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to give it to you then. Here it comes. It's from, it was sent in by Dana Scarborough. Thank you, Dana. It's by Yahoo Answers user C, who asks, are flautists capable of expelling poison darts from a flute?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know it's somebody who does amazing work, but if it's an actual conversation, I don't know where it's headed.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You said it actually better than I did, so I have to think about what that means.
Hey, this is the straight talk that you're going to get on this show.
Bullseye. Creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.